Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
Because I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins, a.k.a. the tax man. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
We turned the calendar on into April, and normally this is the time when you guys are really ramping up, getting taxes prepared. Now, you're still doing tax deadlines in the middle of the month, but for individuals, it's been extended into next month, in May 17th, I believe.
That's right. May 17th is our new tax deadline. And I feel like this is the update show is the way to go.
It's always an update show because things are changing so rapidly.
Last week we really focused in on the news of the day, which were extended tax deadlines and unemployment benefits and how we're handling all of those. And this week we have updates to all of those stories, so it's going to be interesting. So one of the first updates is the IRS extended individual tax filing deadlines until May 17th. Mm-hmm. North Carolina followed suit.
Not surprising.
North Carolina, we thought that was exactly what we said when we were in here last week, which was just be ready. You know, this guidance just got released. We expect North Carolina will go ahead and announce the extension of the deadline for individual filings till May 17th. They have done that. So now we have the North Carolina and the federal return both due May 17th for individuals. What was interesting was we talked about the fact that estimated tax payments would still be due April 15th. And we were thinking there may be some change to that. There's not. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, the estimated tax payments for quarter one 2021 are still due April 15th.
Right.
So, and again, we talked about how that's kind of a weird situation because typically those estimated tax payments are a product of your prior year's filing. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about how you're going to have to make some guesstimate in order to get those payments made. And hopefully if your attributes were fairly similar, you'll know about what that number is. If you had a varying year due to the COVID pandemic or otherwise, you're going to have to take some liberties there to try to figure out what that amount is. But you know, unfortunately, you've got to do the best you can so you're not late there. Or if you want to be exact, you know, then you just have to eat the penalty at the end of the day that when you get that return finalized and prepared, if you make that estimated tax payment late. IRA contributions, health savings account contributions, the deadline did get extended. So this is kind of an interesting one where you can make a contribution to an IRA, Roth IRA, typically by April 15th, and it'll go back retroactive to the prior year.
Right.
That's been extended out, so you have a little bit of extra time if you want to try to make those contributions and get them earmarked so you can lessen your tax.
Does that go to May 17th?
Yes, okay. It goes to May 17th. Same thing with HSA accounts. So just a little bit more time on those particular aspects. Interesting one is the 2017 refund claim. So, you know, we talk about how whenever the tax deadline hits, it's two different deadlines, really, if you think about it. One is to get your filing done for the prior year. So we're doing our 2020 taxes at the moment. But we also talk about closed tax years. And so, for instance, in this particular year, 2017 is up. So for all those individuals out there who have not filed their 2017 return and who anticipated they would get a refund from that return, you have until May 17th now to file that 2017 return to be able to claim that refund. Otherwise, if you go file that return at a later date
and you show
a refund, that refund goes poof.
Yeah. Uncle Sam collects that.
Yeah, you just made a gift to the government because you will not be able to get that back. So they did extend that out. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So for your super procrastinators out there, you have a little bit more time for your 2017 return to get that
so
in.
What are they saying? You get 4 years on that? Is that the clock runs on three years?
Yeah, and it runs from the date that the return's due. So that's why 2017's up because it was due in 2018.
Gotcha.
Now we're in
2021. Sure.
So that's why the 2017 would be up at this particular time. Unemployment guidance. Mm-hmm. So we talked last time about how the IRS said, hey, look, they passed this $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, and guess what it included? It included some unemployment relief, and what it did, Mike, was it said the first $10,200 of unemployment that you received would not be taxable.
Nice.
So we know the general rule was is that unemployment is taxable income, and you have to report it as such. So if you filed your return prior to that bill being passed, you, of course, reported all of your unemployment as taxable income. Now they released this, they passed this bill. It's retroactive to last year. You've already filed. The question was, what do I do? And the IRS said, hold.
Right. Hold.
Just
on.
Hold. And so they've released that guidance. And basically what they've said, Mike, is that they are going to start processing refunds for individuals starting in May. So if you filed your return and you claimed all of your unemployment as taxable income, the IRS is going to fix your problem, but they're not going to do it until May.
Right, and what they're saying too, Andrew, is don't file an amended or a return. They don't need more paper. They don't need more envelopes open. They're still working on 2019s.
That's exactly right. And if you're married filing jointly, they said they would get to those after they get to all the single filers. So you're going to be looking at an extending deadline if you're married. 23 million people got unemployment benefits last year, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So a lot of individuals out there had this type of situation. One of the interesting things is there's 13 states where you're going to have to pay the full burden on all of your unemployment benefits, and North Carolina happens to be one of them.
Really?
So, I thought that was interesting as well, which is, so if you filed your returns, the IRS is going to fix it for you and send you a refund. North Carolina, obviously, your return's good. Don't have to do anything about it. They're not going to take any action relative to it. If you haven't filed, then, they've released this worksheet, and they've, software preparers have been inputting the information necessary to make sure that change is made, and you have to answer a couple questions, and then it will calculate and take that $10,200 off of your income automatically. So,
was there a salary cap on that as well?
Yeah, $150.
$150 for a married joint?
For individuals.
Individual, okay. Yeah, individual receiving unemployment, $150.
Yeah.
Below that, you get the $10,200, no tax on federal. The Tar Heels residents, you got to pay it.
You got it. You got it. And then, of course, yesterday, let's spend some more money, Mike. What do you think?
Sure. Human infrastructure? What do you want? They're not even talking billions anymore. When they say like $200 billion, it sounds like chump change now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, let's go with the T word.
Let's get the T's out.
Yeah. Let's tee it up.
Let's talk about $2.25 trillion of an infrastructure plan. Which I think you can pretty much call these things whatever you want to.
Right.
If it has like a snippet of infrastructure in it,
all you got to do, like every scandal is a gate, suffix gate. Now everything is infrastructure, human infrastructure.
And I told you, you got to have a good ring to it. So this is going to be the Made in America tax plan, is what we're going to call this one. And so.
Because Make America Great was taken. So we got gotcha.
Made in America tax plan. And really what this focuses on, and what I want our listeners to know, is obviously this is just announced by the president yesterday. And so we're all talking about proposals at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that we have a close margin in the House. We've got an equally divided Senate, 50-50. But it appears as if this infrastructure plan is one they're going to be willing to use the budget reconciliation process to get passed. So what does that mean? That means that we're looking at the probability that this does get signed into law in some way, shape, or form is fairly high.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to make a lot of people happy in order to do so.
And how do you do that?
Yeah, good
in Washington,
question.
You throw money at each district.
That's exactly right. And earmarks are coming back.
That's right. They're back.
The swamp is getting
back.
But here we go. We got earmarks back. Anyways, corporate. So how are you going to pay for this? Is the bottom line? That's what really matters to our listeners at this point in time. Corporate tax rate is proposed to be increased from 21% to 28%.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing in this particular bill. Obviously, under the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, Trump's plan, we got the corporate rate down from 35% to 21%. Biden wants to take it back up to 28%. Also wants to tax and toughen global minimum tax on multinational corporations, and wants to raise that rate from 13% to 21%. That's just basically saying they don't want money offshore not to be taxed, and they're going to try to toughen restrictions and raise the rate that you're taxed on it. And also proposing to do a 15% tax on your book income, which is what you report to investors versus what your taxable income actually is. Again, devil's in the details on all these things. I just wanted to mention to our listeners, this plan, this infrastructure plan, seems to be heavily focused on corporate taxes. But from what I'm seeing, in April, Biden's planning on announcing a $1 trillion plan that is going to focus more on individual taxes. So, hold the presses, yeah, because I think that we're going to see some increases to the estate tax. We're going to see some increases to individual income taxes.
Right.
And this next, not billion, as we said, trillion with a T, plan is really going to focus in on those measures, and we'll have to keep our listeners abreast of that.
Because if you look at where we are right now as a country demographically, we're in the process of having the largest ever major transfer of wealth from one generation to the next. And that's where you come in with Life and Taxes at Harvell and Collins.
That's right.
How to protect the assets that your parents have, passing down to the children.
Exactly.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot of planning that's going to take place over the course of the next few years, because obviously this president, this Congress with these slim majorities are going to continue to try to get as much money spent, is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And how do you pay for it? Tax revenue.
Yep.
And they're going to try to see what they can get away with relative to taxes. I mean, when you hear Pete Buttigieg out there talking about mileage tax,
yeah.
You know, you heard about Elizabeth Warren during the campaign, wealth taxes. You know, Bernie Sanders is in charge of the budget committee in the Senate. He's already put a bill on the table to lower the estate tax down to $3.5 million, do away with step-up tax basis, lower the gift tax to $1 million. I mean, there's just tons of things right now that are being bannered about, and we don't know what the final product's going to look like at the end of the day, but it is a clear indication from everything that I'm seeing that taxes are only going to go up, and therefore planning becomes so key, Mike.
Yeah, it does, and that's you need not procrastinate anymore and call Andrew Foster today at Harvell and Collins, 252-726-9050. Protect that for what you've earned and lived your entire life for before Uncle Sam gets their claws into it, or check them online, HarvellandCollins.com. Thank you, Andrew.